To Cherry, the American Revolution and the Civil War were the principal revelatory building blocks. The first was a moment when God delivered the colonies from Pharaoh Britain and the evils of the old world, revealed the purposes of the nation, and adopted the young republic as an example and instrument of freedom and republican government for the rest of the world. The Civil War was the nation's first real time of testing, when God tried the permanence of the Union, or, in some interpretations, brought judgment upon his wayward people. Blended with American exceptionalism, subsequent variations of this national self-assuredness have transcended church or creed. "Beheld from the angle of governing mythology," says Cherry, "the history of the American civil religion is a history of the conviction that the American people are God's new Israel, his newly chosen people. The belief that America has been elected by God for a special destiny in the world has been the focus of American sacred ceremonies, the inaugural addresses of our presidents, the sacred scriptures of the civil religion. It has been so pervasive a motif in the national life that the word belief does not really capture the dynamic role that it has played for the American people, for it passed into the realm of motivational myths." Indeed, as religion extends its sway over U.S. politics, theology may be the better word. To be sure, the contemporary United States hardly claims the covenant relationship with God that Israel still does, and which remained real to the Afrikaners and Ulster Protestants well into the late 20th century. Still, Puritan and then Congregationalist New England did so up through the Revolution, and even the men from Scotch-Irish towns in revolutionary Pennsylvania and the Carolinas marched off to fight the British in 1776 with the memories of covenanting Scottish and Scotch-Irish Presbyterian forebears in their minds. The Mormons in the American West of the 1840s and 1850s likewise immersed themselves in self-proclaimed chosen nationhood. Utah was colonized as New Zion, and July 23rd, the date of Mormon entry into the Promised Land, became their principal holiday and their occasion for celebrating their own exodus and triumph. More to the point, as the next chapter will amplify, the New Israel Protestantism established by Yankee New England generations earlier passed, figuratively at least, to the true believing South during the Civil War era. Religion thrived and intermingled with a new history. After the Confederacy's defeat, Southern churchmen routinely sermonized that God had chastened his beloved South between 1861 and 1865, but had not abandoned it. Suffering as the South did under Reconstruction, ministers argued, could be redemptive. Thus, when the last Yankee troops withdrew from the South in 1877, in the wake of considerable Northern popular disenchantment, God was proclaimed to have kept faith with a South that had kept the covenant. Dixie's victorious white conservative politicians were duly named Redeemers. One Southern historian has further enlarged the analogy. The New South promoters reveled in the resurrection story. The South, paralleling Jesus, had risen from the dead of Reconstruction to the living redemption. The Southern economy could sustain that story and repeat it again and again. As Virginian Philip Alexander Bruce wrote in 1905, the story of the New South is a vital narration of the progress of a mighty people who, from adversity which as no other section of North America has ever experienced, had risen and won the race with adverse fate and become the pride of the Union. Such boasts from Southern nationalists in 1905 were romantic fiction. The North had the power and pride of victory. A century later, however, after great religious and political transformation in both the South and the nation as a whole, the evidence of ascending Southern political and religious influence is substantial. From presidential election dominance to military adventurism and Southern Baptist expansion to become the leading U.S. Protestant denomination, more Dixie ambitions have been fulfilled than any Confederate War Veterans Convention could ever have contemplated. And as W.J. Cash wrote in The Mind of the South, that region is not quite a nation within a nation, but the next thing to it. The outlook that Israel, Ulster, and South Africa supposedly had in common, the sense of a biblical nationhood bathed in blood and tribulation, closely resembles the scriptural fidelity and religious nationalism forged by the South, but too little understood beyond its bounds. This mentality now has an unprecedented influence in the United States as a whole. Well may Americans, and the rest of the world, ponder what William Faulkner said about the land of his birth. The past is never dead. It's not even past.